This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Ever since Norman Mailer died of renal failure Saturday at the age of 84, the tributes have kept coming. We have a couple of remembrances to add. We're going to listen back to an interview I recorded with Mailer in 1991. First, our book critic, Maureen Carrigan, has this appreciation of Mailer.
I've only crossed one picket line in my life, and it was because of Norman Mailer. It was the late 70s, and I was in graduate school at the University of Pennsylvania, and Mailer was giving a talk on campus. To enter the lecture hall, I had to cross a picket line of feminists who were carrying placards that read, "I'd rather be reading Jane Austen." I was a shy, nascent feminist back then, but I really disliked those precious signs and the way they shunted Austen and Mailer off into gender-specific reading rooms. So I crossed the line and threw my lot in with the devil. Mailer never made it easy on those of us who wanted to identify as feminists and as fans. Throughout his near 60-year career as a writer, he was often deliberately and adolescently provocative, acting out like a kind of Bobby Riggs of the book world. In recent months, I've gotten gentle chiding from colleagues about the fact that I'd invited Mailer to be the guest of honor at a conference I'd planned at Georgetown to observe the 40th anniversary of the March on the Pentagon. Mailer was to have spoken about his extraordinary book on the march, The Armies of the Night. But as it turned out, he had to cancel because he was too ill. "Is he going to pee on stage?" asked one wit, referencing the famous opening of Armies, where Mailer, sloshed, lets loose a mighty stream in the wings of a theater where he's about to speak. At least that guy had read Mailer. So many others who dismissed him as sexist or silly because of his uneven novels and now politically incorrect essays, like The White Negro, had never bothered to read any of Mailer's work. He was one of those celebrity writers you could have an opinion about without reading. But if you did pick up the right book, what a great American writer you'd find. I say writer deliberately because although Mailer wanted to be remembered as a novelist, his most spectacular literary achievements lay elsewhere. After The Naked and the Dead, his 1948 debut novel about World War II, he looked a likely successor to Hemingway, whom he revered. But that ascension never happened. Instead, it was in the messy realm of creative nonfiction, a genre he helped to bring into being, that Mailer soared. To read his 1979 nonfiction novel, The Executioner's Song, where he imagines his way into the life of convicted killer Gary Gilmore, or the acrobatic new journalism of Miami and the Siege of Chicago, or the incandescent history, novel, whatever it is, of the Armies of the Night, is to hear, in its various accents, an American voice that's both visionary and comic. In Armies, Mailer marches with poet Robert Lowell and other luminaries to protest the Vietnam War, but he's also marching with an immortal band of American literary muses. Hemingway certainly, but also, ironically, for this macho, macho man, Walt Whitman and Gertrude Stein. Like his queer brother and sister in arms, Mailer here reads history through his own titanic ego and forges a new literary style to give expression to the revolution playing out before him. The energy of Mailer's intelligence sparks off the page. Surveying the thousands of young protesters, the then 44-year-old Mailer says, "A generation of the American young had come along different from five previous generations of the middle class. The new generation believed in technology more than any before it, but the generation also believed in LSD, in witches, in tribal knowledge, in orgy and revolution. It had no respect whatsoever for the unassailable logic of the next step. Belief was reserved for the revelatory mystery of the happening, where you did not know what was going to happen next." Like the best of Mailer's work, Armies combined sweeping cultural criticism with navel-gazing, erudition and obscenity, pee and pathos. When he was in fighting trim, Mailer could punch holes through the plasterboard between literary categories and upend assumptions. I was reminded of Mailer's disruptive power earlier this year when I dipped into a new paperback called The Top 10, in which famous writers list their favorite books. Mailer is interviewed, and surprise, surprise, among his list of top 10 great books, he names Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Turns out that day, so many years ago at Penn, instead of lecturing, Mailer probably would have rather been reading Jane Austen, too.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.